Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The Assembly Speaker has agreed to this this plan. The Majority Leader of the Senate, Dean Skelos, has agreed to the plan. They both have supported it for a long time. The Assembly actually passed a tax cap 15 years ago or so.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, speaking last week, announcing a deal that still isn't quite done from what we can tell, to give something to renters in New York City and homeowners outside the city. The details, it would strengthen the rent stabilization law for renters and cap most property tax hikes outside New York City at 2% a year for homeowners. This, of course, is important in all kinds of ways, including the tension between rising property taxes and cuts to school budgets around the state, the June 15th expiration of the current rent laws, and more. So we are very pleased to have the Speaker of the New York State Assembly back with us to talk about this and to touch briefly on some other legislation, including same-sex marriage and a payday check cashing bill. Speaker Silver, always a pleasure. Thank you for coming back on WNYC.
Always delighted to be with you and your listeners, Brian.
Is there a solid deal on strengthening rent stabilization for a property tax cap?
There is only a solid commitment to come to conclusion on that within the next week or so.
What would you consider the biggest sticking point or points?
Well, we all agree on extending rent regulation. The Assembly has passed a bill that does what has to be done. One, we provide some regulation by the department on all of the increases that landlords have been getting. Number two, we regulate the vacancy bonus we'd like to bring down. We'd like to see properties that are now Mitchell-Amas not go out into the private market, retain rent stabilization if they do. We'd like to see when capital improvements are made that they pay for the capital improvements, not become rent increases forever. As far as that goes, we'd like to see vacancy bonuses less and also limited to how many times a landlord can put a vacancy bonus into place. We'd like to see the market reflect incomes that have gone up for middle-class New Yorkers. They're no longer the $175,000 income or the $2,000 rent is no more realistic in terms of what a reasonable income or reasonable market rent
right.
is
that was,
today
that,
in New York.
That was what they call luxury decontrol.
Correct.
If your income rose to, I think it was $175,000,
and your rent was over $2,000. You were decontrolled by virtue of luxury decontrol. Look, ultimately, we would like to see, and we've passed the bill, to eliminate the vacancy decontrol, period.
And looking back on that question of vacancy decontrol, I remember the big battle in 1997. We covered it on this show closely over the rent stabilization laws when Pataki was governor and the Republicans wanted to end rent stabilization altogether. And the deal to save it was played as a big victory for tenants. But then it turned out to include this vacancy decontrol for renovated apartments, which allowed so many units, especially in Manhattan, to be lost to market rates. Do you think that that deal was more of a defeat for tenants than the press played it at the time? Or did the Democrats even get snookered on that deal looking back?
No, I don't think we got snookered on that deal. As a matter of fact, you have to play, you know, the entire game, reconstruct it in 1997. You had a Senate Majority Leader named Joe Bruno who was committed to ending rent regulation. You had a governor, George Pataki, who was committed to ending rent regulation, period. We had over 2 million apartments that were rent regulated in the city, and they were committed to ending it. Came to the deadline for rent regulation, and they refused to budge. I and my Assembly colleagues stood firm, refused to do a state budget until that issue was dealt with.
So it was the best you could get at the time.
And it was finally, you know, our tenants were nervous. Rent regulation had expired.
So are you saying that the list of changes that you want now to re-strengthen the rent laws are the sticking point with Leader Skelos in the Senate to get to this bill, rent stabilization strengthening for a tax cap on property?
Well, there are two, you know, different factors here. Number one, we have now a governor who has articulated his commitment to a renewal and strengthening of rent regulation. It is always good to fight and have an ally with you in that struggle. So, Leader Skelos has committed to a renewal, and there are factors. Many in the real estate industry want a renewal of the 421A program, which was a tax incentive from the city for developers. We have joined that issue with this particular issue so that the real estate industry is waiting for a benefit that they get in development, and it's contingent on this debate as well, and many of them want it.
Another sticking point that I've read is that the rent laws need renewal every few years, and if the property tax cap is linked to the rent laws, then it would need to be renewed and therefore redebated every few years to remain in force. Advocates want the property tax cap to be permanent. Do you see that as an issue?
I think we've gotten a commitment from both the governor and the Senate that they will look at a sunset, and they use the rent regulation law as the sunset provision. And I think that's important. It's important for a tax cap on its own. I think right now we have had escalating property taxes, and it's time to say time out. Let's see what we're doing. Let's put the cap in effect. But just the cap in and of itself, I think at some point we should say, hey, let's see what we have done by it.
Are there major downsides or potential downsides to the property tax cap that you're afraid will have, you know, negative repercussions on the public so that it should be reinspected again in a few years?
Absolutely. It has potential. And it has potential depending on government's commitment to its school districts and its localities. You know, I passed a tax cap in the Assembly in 1995. One of those contingencies was that it only takes effect if government maintains its aid to education. That tax cap only applied to school districts. But it was contingent on the state government maintaining its commitment to education and providing at least the same amount, if not greater, resources to school districts in order for the cap to be in effect. We're not doing that here. What we are doing, though, is saying, in effect, let's take a time out, let's slow the rate of growth, but let's stop at some point, turn around, and take a look what impact it has had. That's the reason for the sunset in and of itself on property tax cap.
Sheldon Silver, the New York State Assembly Speaker, my guest on WNYC. And on the property tax cap, obviously a lot of homeowners who feel incredibly and increasingly burdened by property taxes want this. On the other hand, you have the teachers union saying if the current property tax proposal had been in effect this year, two-thirds of the school budgets around the state would have been defeated, and they see devastation to education. Are you concerned about that? There are other critics, too. I'll throw this in regarding the property tax cap, saying that it would force a decline of public services generally and get the state stuck in a California Proposition 13-style downward spiral. You don't think so?
I don't think so, Brian, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, all of these issues are related, and they're all related to another issue that we've put forward. You know, rent regulation, property tax cap is about giving people certainty that they can afford to live in their homes. Rent regulation, property tax cap is a way of saying to people, okay, your rent is going to rise so much next year, so much the year after, so much the year after. Your property tax, which is the biggest piece of the cost of staying in your home, is going to rise only so much in the next year or the next 2 years. People can plan based on those issues. But the third issue, something we put forth in the budget, something we continue to put forth, is the issue of the millionaire's tax. Or actually, we advocate not giving people who make more than $1 million a year a tax break. And we take that money, and one of the things we dedicate it to is school aid. And that, the tax cap issue, is what will hopefully force the realization that we have to get those school districts the money. You know, the whole debate in the city about how many teachers to lay off. It would have been a lot easier if the assembly proposal had the support of the mayor, which would have brought the city more education aid and would have provided more money to hire more teachers in the city and school districts throughout the state.
So are you pursuing actively, as part of a rent stabilization and property tax cap agreement, a millionaire's tax once again? And if so, do you think that you can get either Mayor Bloomberg or Governor Cuomo or Leader Scalise, all of whom were so opposed in the initial state budget talks this year, to flip their positions?
Well, we have reintroduced it. Remember, right now the tax reduction for people making more than $1 million does not take effect until the next calendar year. So between now and the next budget, you can enact it. We have reintroduced it in the last 2 weeks. We intend to move it forward this year in the Assembly. And we will move it forward again next year in the Assembly and make it part of next year's budget debate. It would mean, on a statewide basis, $700 to $800 million for the balance of this state fiscal year. It would mean $4 billion next year in the fiscal year, and it would mean another $700 or $800 million in the following fiscal year. It's enough to provide the $800 million to the state school districts this year. It's enough to balance next year the projected budget gap and avoid any further cuts that the state may have to make in next year's budget by having that revenue in place.
But it sounds like you're not optimistic that it will be part of this, hopefully very shortly forthcoming, deal on rent and property taxes, correct?
No, but I'm hopeful that this deal on property tax cap will leave no other conclusion, and that the demand on the state, on the local legislators, will be fill our school districts' coffers. And how do you do that? By providing them with state revenue, which comes off, again, a progressive tax base as opposed to a regressive property tax.
New York State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver with us on WNYC for just another few minutes. And before you go, I want to touch on a few other outstanding items before the legislature adjourns later this month. Here is Governor Cuomo on some of those items.
We have some other pieces of business we have to do here also. We have to pass ethics reform, in my opinion. We have marriage equality on the agenda, which I would like to see happen. So we have a few weeks left. We have a few more pieces of work.
Governor Cuomo speaking on WOR last week. First, let's go down that list real quick. Same-sex marriage, is this the month?
Well, this, you know, the Assembly, Danny O'Donnell introduced that bill 2 years ago. We passed it. We passed it last year once. We passed it last year twice. There's no question where the Assembly stands on that issue. We have been the leaders on the issue. We have passed it. We have sent it to the Senate. It has died in the Senate on three different occasions.
And your tea leaves, is this the year in the Senate?
I, I'm hopeful, but I cannot tell you what actually happens in the Senate. I'm hopeful. We have 3 weeks to go in the session. Again, you have a strong advocate in the governor. I'm hoping that he can, pull the necessary Republican support in the Senate that will make it the law of the state of New York.
And forgive me to rush you, but we're going to run out of time on this list. What about an ethics deal that includes disclosure of outside clients, including for legislators with outside law practices like yourself? I'm told an ethics deal may be announced today.
Well, very clearly, I've had an ethics deal with the governor for 2 months, and I want to point out very clearly, I do no business with the state. I represent no clients with the state. I represent individual claimants in cases involving insurance, and I disclose that on my ethics report, and even though I am not required to. And, I am perfectly comfortable with a requirement that the governor is asking of a full disclosure of representing people who do business before the state or with the state. I have no problem with that. Our conference has no problem with that. We have been there, and we are hopeful we can get the Senate there.
What else is in this deal, and do you expect an announcement today?
I don't know when I can expect an announcement. All I know is the governor and I have been in sync on this issue for quite a while. I think it's important that we give people the confidence in their government that they need. I know the members of the legislature, both houses by and large, are hardworking, honest citizens who represent their constituents. In every bunch, there are a few bad apples, and I think that case is clearly here in government as well as in the private sector, and we need the laws to help to root it out. One of the things that's important, I believe, sunshine. That's what an ethics disclosure law will do. The best way to root it out is by requiring disclosure, and it's happened. Law enforcement has been able to work in those cases of the bad apples as a result of disclosures that are made.
And last thing, another bill that's come to our attention is one passed by the Senate and Assembly banking committees, I understand, that would allow check cashing outlets to provide short-term loans. Now, from what I've read, everyone but the check cashing industry opposes this bill as enabling payday loans, one of the most predatory kinds of lending. Will you allow that bill to come to the floor?
We are looking at that very carefully. We don't want to see abuses in that industry, and we're very concerned about it.
Will you work to defeat a payday loan bill?
I think we have to take a look at the details of it, see what safeguards there are in it. And our staff is looking very carefully at it before we will put it up for a vote.
What would make a bill like that okay?
If it doesn't have, as you say, A, predatory lending, B, usurious interest rates, and gives people some short-term relief without, ridiculous rates.
Speaker of the New York State Assembly, Sheldon Silver, a lot of news today. Thank you for coming on and talking about so much of it. We really appreciate your time, as always.
Pleasure being with you. Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will explore the unanswered questions in the case of Congressman Anthony Weiner and the sexual photo that got sent to a college student from his Twitter account. What's the evidence as to whether he was hacked or sent it himself? Stay with us.